Blog Talk Radio.
Change me, oh God. Make me more like you. Wash me through, create me a clean heart, so that I may worship you.
Come on.
Oh, if you let it, he can.
Yes, Lord. We thank God on today. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank God for the opportunity that we can come and receive, be restored, that our minds may be renewed, amen. The Bible says that my people perish for the lack of knowledge, so we come that we may receive the knowledge of the Lord our God, amen, and wisdom to apply to our daily lives to help us to live a life that is upright and pleasing in the sight of the Lord our God, and to help others, amen. Hallelujah. So let us pray as we enter in this beautiful afternoon that God has blessed us with and receive the word of God on today as we continue our study of the books of the Bible. Amen. We're taking the time to study the books of the Bible, but making it easy and simple so that we can understand what book, what each book implies and when it was written, the purpose, the summary, the outline, and where we see Jesus in each book of the Bible and the key verses of the book of the Bible. Amen. And so we just thank God, again, for this opportunity that God has given us. So let us pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for this day, for this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we thank you for keeping us. We thank you for remembering us on today and those in our family. Lord, we bless your holy name. Father God, we come to receive on today, amen, that our minds may be renewed, oh God, through your word. So Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you speak to us great and mighty, oh Lord, as we study, oh God, the books of the Bible on today. Open up the channels of our spirit so that we can receive from you great and mighty in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that change will come, amen. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you'll allow blessing, oh God, to take root in us, amen, and be engrafted on our hearts and minds, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, helping us to keep our minds stayed on you, that you'll keep us in perfect peace. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, let us receive divine revelation and knowledge and wisdom of your word so that we can apply to our daily lives and live a life that is upright and pleasing to thy sight. Father God, we ask in Jesus' name that you release your warring angels towards us, any spirits designed to hinder us on today from receiving, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So we come against every hindering spirit, every unteachable spirit, every spirit of doubt, disbelief, every spirit of worrying, fear, oppression, depression right now, and we command you to cease your works and die at the root and come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We command every lying spirit, manipulating spirit, controlling spirit, amen, to cease your works and die at the root and come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Come against every spirit of confusion and destruction. We command you to cease your works and die at the root and come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we decree and declare this deliverance right now, and we receive it by faith, amen, as we enter in to receive on today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we seal it with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that does all things but fail, and the promises of God and the Holy Spirit of the living God that dwell in us all that believe. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, welcome, welcome, welcome. It's your first time here with us. Welcome. Welcome to Saturday School. If you're online listening or you called in or you listen to this blog later on, you know, later today, tomorrow, next year, years from now, may it be a blessing to you. Amen. In the name of Jesus, I am Apostle Tawanika Mackey. We are the Tawanika Manning. We are the Gospel Public Ministry. So we're following up from, and we've been a continual lesson about the books of the Bible. And before we left off last Saturday, we were talking about the prophetic books. And so that's what we're entering in today as we discuss the prophetic books, which are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggad, Zechariah, and Malachi. So we're going to talk about them a little bit and understanding the dates and the times and actually these prophetic books as these particular prophets, the major and minor prophets that God used, the people God used during those times. And it ranges anywhere from 500 to the 700 B.C. Amen. And so the audience that they were speaking to, Isaiah was speaking to the audience of Judah. And the subject was God's judgment and salvation to them. And then Jeremiah was speaking to Judah as well. And it was the judgment, or God's judgment, wrath, and destruction of Jerusalem. And the Lamentations was speaking directly to the audience of Judah, which is the subject there was a lament for the destruction of Jerusalem. And when you look at Ezekiel, the audience that was speaking to the I want to apologize today. We have some technical difficulties, but I thank God we're able to get back on. Amen. So we left off at Daniel, and Daniel sees the exiles of Babylon and Persia, and it was the subject there was actually the God's sovereignty and future redemption for them. Amen. And then in the book of Hosea, the audience there was northern kingdom of Israel, and the subject is Israel's unfaithfulness to their covenant with God. And then we look in the book of Joel, which is speaking to Judah and surrounding nations, and the subject there is the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Amen. And then we look in the book of Amos, and the audience was, I'm sorry, did I give you all Amos already? The northern kingdom of Israel, so I believe I gave you all that. And the subject there was God's judgment upon Israel for their injustice and lack of mercy. And when we look at Obadiah, speaking to Edom and the people of Judah, and the subject was God's judgment upon Edom. And then Jonah was sent out to speak to the audience of Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrian Empire, and the subject there was God's judgment upon Nineveh, yet God's mercy extends to all. Amen. We learned that in the book of Jonah. And then Micah, the audience is being spoke to is Samaria and Jerusalem, and God's judgment upon Israel and Judah for their wickedness. We see Nahum was speaking to Nineveh as well, the capital of the Assyrian Empire, and the subject there was God's judgment upon Nineveh for their cruelty against God's people. And then Habakkuk and speaking to all God's people. And the subject there was God's judgment, justice, love, and mercy. Amen. For all of God's people. And then Zephaniah, I was speaking to Judah and surrounding nations. And the subject there was a call to repentance before the coming judgment on the day of the Lord. And then Haggai was speaking to Judah and Jerusalem. And the subject there was a call to rebuild the temple and a message of hope. And Zechariah was speaking to Judah and Jerusalem for a call to rebuild the temple and a message of future glory. And then Malachi was speaking to Jerusalem, and the subject there was a call to spiritual renewal. Amen. Hallelujah. So we see God calling his people as he sent his prophets. Amen. So let's talk about Isaiah. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. We talk about the judgment and salvation in the book of Isaiah. It was written in 735 to 681 B.C. by the prophet Isaiah. And the purpose of the book of Isaiah is to convince the people that salvation is possible through repentance for sin and hope in the coming Messiah. The summary here in the book of Isaiah is with powerful enemies on all sides and war looming, God's people form political and military alliances with pagan nations in hopes of protecting themselves. God commissions the prophet Isaiah to bring messages of impeding judgment if God's people continue to look for their salvation in the strength and gods of other nations. The outline here in the book of Isaiah when it speaks of condemnation is in chapter 1 through 39, and then chapters 40 through 55 talks about the comfort in exile, and then 56 through 66 speaks about the future hope. Amen. Amen. So where do we see Jesus? How do we see Jesus in Isaiah? Jesus is the promised Messiah, a descendant of King David. And in his death and resurrection, Jesus inaugurated a new kingdom and God's kingdom. Amen. So when Jesus returns, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. We see this in Isaiah 11, 1 through 2, and in Isaiah 65, verse 17 through 19. The key verse here in the book of Isaiah is that the Bible says Isaiah 9 and 6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counsel, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to move on to the book of Jeremiah, which is right after Isaiah. The book of Jeremiah talks about judgment, wrath, and weeping. It was written in 626 to 582 B.C. by the prophet Jeremiah. The purpose is to warn the people of destruction and to remind them of their sin in hopes of bringing them to repentance. Amen. And the summary here, the book of Jeremiah brings a message of judgment against the people of Judah. He hopes that heartfelt repentance by God's people will deter God's wrath. The outline here in the book of Jeremiah, if we look in chapters 1 through 10, we see Jeremiah's call and message of judgment. And then chapters 11 through 28, we see the warning of disaster and exile. And then chapters 29 through 39, we see the new covenant of restoration. And then in chapters 40 through 52, we see the fall of Jerusalem. So how do we see Jesus in Jeremiah? In Jeremiah, the Messiah is foretold as a righteous branch from the line of David. At the Passover meal, on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the cup in reference of Jeremiah 31:31, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." In Luke 22:20, Jesus' death and resurrection instituted the new covenant Jeremiah prophesied. Amen. The key verse in Jeremiah is 29:11, which says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to move right along to the book of Lamentations. The book of Lamentations talks about it's actually the dirge poem of Lament. Amen. It's written in 586 B.C. by the prophet Jeremiah. The purpose of it is to express the despair of the people of Judah over the loss of their land, their city, and temple. The summary here in the book of Lamentations, is an eyewitness account of the destruction of Jerusalem. The grief expressed in these poems reveals deep regret and desire for the restoration of God's people. When we look in the book of Lamentations, we see the sorrow of the captives in chapter 1, and then we see the anger with Jerusalem in chapter 2, and then we see hope and mercy in chapter 3, and then we see the punishment in chapter 4, and then we see restoration in chapter 5. Jesus in Lamentations, we see where is Christ to be found in this book? Let's see, where is Christ to be found in the book of Lamentations? In the pain and the suffering itself, the language of verses chapter 2, 15 through 16 and 3 and 15, he has fulfilled me with bitter herbs and given me gall to drink, appears at the cross. They offer Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. We see it in Matthew 27:34. So God knows our suffering. The language of lamentation expresses Christ's anguish and sorrow over sin and its terrible price. The key verse here in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 to 23, that says, "His compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go over to Ezekiel, which is right after Lamentations. Won't be before you long on today, but just thanking God for an opportunity to be here once again. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says in the Ezekiel talks about the prophecies and visions of God's presence. It is written in 593 to 571 B.C. by the prophet Ezekiel. The prophets that call God's people in exile to be faithful to God who is still among them. The book of Ezekiel asks a crucial question. Is God present with us or has he abandoned us? To bring prophecies and vision, Ezekiel communicates God's message that if the exiles were to walk humbly with God, then God's presence with them would be a source of peace, life, and future restoration. We see the call of Ezekiel in chapters 1 through 3 and then coming captivity of Judah in chapters 4 through 24. We see the judgment of other nations in chapter 25 through 32. And then we see restoration of God's people in chapters 33 through 48. How do we see Jesus in Ezekiel? See, some of the most important imagery that Jesus used to explain his ministry to his disciples comes from the book of Ezekiel. Jesus is the true temple, the shepherd king. Ezekiel 34, and then the source of living water. In Ezekiel 47, we see it 1 through 2, and then John 14, 10 through 14, and chapter 7, 38 through 39. The key verse here in Ezekiel is chapter 36, verse 26. It says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Next, we have the book of Daniel. So here we see in Daniel is the life and exile and vision of the future. It was written in 605 to 535 B.C. by the prophet Daniel. The purpose is to convince the exiles that God is sovereign and to provide them with a vision of their future redemption. See, the first part of the book tells about Daniel and his friends in the Babylonian court. This account shows God's people how to obey God while in the midst of a foreign, hostile land. The second part of the book includes Daniel's vision. The purpose of these visions is to reassure God's people that God is in control. We see in the book of Daniel and his friends in chapters 1 through 6, and then we see Daniel's visions in chapters 7 through 12. How do we see Jesus in the book of Daniel? The phrase son of man is just the Hebrew way of saying human being, but the name takes on a specific significance in Daniel in chapter 7, 13 through 14, where it describes someone who rides on the clouds, is given the everlasting kingdom, and is worshipped. The term became a title that referred to the coming Messiah. It was the title Jesus most preferred when speaking of himself. The key verse here in Daniel is in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. It says, in the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have any questions or comments at this time and you're logged on to Blog Talk, the preacher and the pastor, please call in 845-277-9213. We would like to receive your, questions, comments, or whatever you may have you want to ask according to the lesson that's going forward. Amen. And you would press 1. So we're going to move right along to the book of Hosea, the warning to a spiritual adulterous nation. It was written in 752 to 722 B.C. by the prophet Hosea. Its purpose is to illustrate Israel's spiritual adultery and warn of destruction. So Hosea is a prophet during the decline and fall of the northern kingdom of Israel. God commands him to marry an adulterous woman as a real-life illustration of God's never-fell-in-love for the people of Israel who were being unfaithful to their covenant relationship with God. We see in chapters 1 through 3, Hosea and his unfaithful wife, and in chapters 4 through 10, the unfaithful Israel. And then we see in chapters 11 through 13, God's love and anger. And then we see Israel's hope in chapter 14. How do we see Jesus in Hosea? Jesus fulfilled Hosea's prophecy by redeeming a people who broke God's heart through unfaithfulness. Jesus delivered God's people from the slavery of sin and debt, often equated to the bondage of the Israelites experienced in Egypt. Jesus, the Lion of Judah, roars upon his victory over the grave that delivers us from our Egypt, from Egypt and Assyrians, from all those places in our lives that hold us captive. The key verse in Hosea is Hosea 6 and 6. It says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. That's Hosea 6 and 6. And we'll move right along, since no one has any questions or comments, to Joel. The book of Joel is a talks about the prophecy about the great and dreadful day of the Lord. It is written possibly in 500 to 400 B.C. by the prophet Joel. The purpose is to call Judah to repentance in order to avoid judgment. Joel warns God's people about the judgment they will face on the earth on the day of the Lord, but also the amazing blessings God will pour out on those who heed the word of the Lord. We see the locust plague in chapter 1, verses 1 to 20, and then we see the army from the north in chapter 2, 1 to 27, and then we see the day of the Lord in chapter 2 and verse 28 and chapter 3, 21. How do we see Jesus in Joel? We see the prophet Joel anticipated the day of the Lord as a great and dreadful day. It was a day of salvation and judgment. Jesus came to the world to save it. Amen? We see it in John 3 and 16, and one day we'll come to judge it. We see that in the book of Acts in chapter 10 and chapter 17. We see that the prophet visualized a single day to come, yet Jesus is fulfilling the prophecy in two parts. In his first coming, about 2,000 years ago, and when he returns in power, glory, and victory. Amen. power, glory, and victory. The key verse here in the book of Joel, we see in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, it said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to say that again for some of us that think that God only used men and that only men can prophesy and minister the word of God. He says in the book of Joel 2 and 28, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And also, if you go to the book of Acts, search Acts chapter 2. Let's go there. Let's go there right now, if you don't mind. Acts chapter 2. And verse 14-21, Acts chapter 2, and I'll give us a moment to get there. Acts chapter 2, verse 14-21. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2, verse 14-21. Acts chapter 2, verse 14-21. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 14-21. Amen. And I'm going to read it for us here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judah, all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. So just wanted to give you all that full scripture there. And that was Acts chapter 2, verse 14-21. And then we're going to move right along to the book of Amos, as we're going to wrap up here shortly. Again, I just thank God for you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I thank God for Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The book of Amos is next, and we're going to wrap up here in the book of Amos. And then when we come back next Saturday, we'll enter into the book of Obadiah. The book of Amos talks about the warnings to a society gone awry. It was written in 760 through 753 B.C. by the prophet Amos, and it's the purpose is to accuse and judge Israel for injustice and lack of mercy. Amos prophesied during a time of great material prosperity and peace, the people have become apathetic toward God, corrupting their worship and treating the poor unjustly. Amos, a shepherd from a small village, is sent by God to tell the people to change their ways or else face the judgment of God. We see in chapters 1 through 4 in the book of Amos, we see Israel and its neighbors. And then in chapter 5, 1 through 17, we see the call to repentance. And then in chapter 5, we see as well, verse 18, and in chapter 6, verse 14, we see false religion, injustice, and pride. And then chapter 7, 9, we see judgment and restoration. How do we see Jesus in the book of Amos? Jesus echoes Amos continuously. He commanded his followers to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to welcome the outcast, to care for the sick, and to visit the imprisoned. We see it in Matthew 25, verse 31-46 in the New Testament. So Jesus also criticized the religious leaders for offering lip service to God, but not truly living a God-pleasing life in the book of Matthew chapter 15, verses 1-20. The key verse here in the book of Amos in chapter 5, verse 14, it says, seek God, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord God Almighty will be with you. Hallelujah. So I pray that we will seek good and not evil, that you may live, that we may live. Amen. Then the Lord God Almighty will be with us. Amen. It's my prayer in the name of Jesus. I pray that all was able to receive on today here in our Saturday school. I try not to keep it too long. not to overflow you with too much, amen, that you can receive, amen, and be able to take away and then to minister to someone else, amen, to give them hope, amen, in the name of Jesus. If you have any questions or comments at this time and you're online, please call 845-277-9213 and press 1. We'll answer any comments that you may have, any questions or comments you may have, please press 1. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So we're going to wrap up here. The time is now 1:32 here in Houston, Texas. I'm not sure the time of where you are, but it is 1:32 here. We wrap up here. Just giving God our praise, glory, and honor. Thank you, God, for deliverance. Thank you, God, for Jesus, for we are free, and we are free indeed. Amen. We just thank you, Father God, that the anointing has broken the yoke of bondage off of us. We thank you. Father God, we bless your name. We thank you for one more time to allow us to come boldly to the throne room of grace to receive from you great and mighty. We thank you for the pouring in at this time. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, help us, oh God, to walk out our salvation. Help us, oh God, to be obedient to your will, oh God, your call upon our life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, though we leave this line, but never your presence. We thank you that you're always with us, that you'll never leave us, nor forsake us. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that your blessings are not going and coming on today. And those in our family, we decree and declare because you've blessed us, oh God, that we're already blessed, that the day has been blessed by you. We thank you, oh God, for remembering us on today. We love you. We can't thank you enough, but yet still we thank you. And we fill this prayer with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that does all things but fail, and the promises of God and the Holy Spirit of the living God that dwelleth in me. It's in Jesus' name I pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all. God keep you. You have a blessed day, a blessed week ahead. Amen. Know that God is with you always. Amen. And say it's over on this side till you enter into the other side of eternity. God bless you. I love you. God loves you more. Remember, Jesus is Lord. The devil is defeated. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you,
oh,
Jesus.
I want to see him look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
I want to hear him say, well.
Give it back to you. You gave me my husband, you know I love him. And now I'll give him back so you know I'm all in. Lord, take my children, my family. I want you to know that you have me. I need to know that you're happy. Yeah, when I finally stop breathing, yeah. King on the throne. Hold up, wait a minute. Gold streets, gold mansion. Just because I look gone with a passion. Can't get you when it gets, but if you're asking, he'll give you that. How can you imagine living without all his grace? Sometimes I still get amazed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Prayed up for all of my days. Until I finally stop breathing, yeah. gift.